We're CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale. And in the booth today, we have Jerry Cutting, who is the president of Townshipers Association. So welcome, Jerry.
I'm really pleased to be here today. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Tell us a bit about Townshipers. I think there are a few people out there who aren't sure what is Townshipers.
Well, to begin with, Townshipers was formed 36 years ago, and it was formed originally in response to Bill 101. And I think probably all of the listeners have had some experience with Bill 101 and its impact on the English community. And since that time, it has been extremely active in promoting the history and the culture and the overall looking at what is it that's impacting on the English community and trying to make appropriate responses to, and in general, trying to find ways and means whereby the English community can participate fully in Quebec society.
Okay, so it's mainly for the English community. That's great.
Yes, but at the same time, what we try and do is create as many partnerships with the French-speaking community as we can, because through building bridges, we create opportunities for English-speaking people.
That's right. We have a lot of projects going on at Townshipers, so let us know about them.
Well, we certainly do, and maybe I'll start off with something that is quite current. And right now, there's a bill before the National Assembly, Bill 62, which deals specifically with reasonable accommodation when it comes to religious holidays and religious symbols and religious dress. And I think many of us probably remember Bill 60, was the famous Charter of Values that was proposed by the Parti Québécois. Now, Bill 62, if we really break it down, what it comes to is what could be considered as something that I think most citizens can get their minds around. And it's basically this, is that when receiving or giving service in the public sector, one should not be masked. So that would cover a wide range of different kinds of masks, we might say, so that it would address the issue of someone who was Muslim, who was wearing a complete face veil, or someone who came in with a Lone Ranger mask, or someone who came in with any form of Halloween mask to the workplace, or came in asking for services. And I think in terms of that, it created the basis for what Townshipers felt would be a position that we could stand by and encouraged all of the political parties to adopt. But we felt that it would be probably a mistake to go beyond that in terms of looking at religious symbols in general, because right away I think there has to be a recognition that at that point you are raising serious issues regarding the charter rights and freedoms of the individual. And there are certain types of laws that automatically invite that kind of an intervention or a challenge in the court system. But we feel that in many ways, because as we are all aware, there are right now a number of refugees that are actually fleeing through the United States into Canada. And people are, I think, are concerned about this. It is a discussion that is just worldwide. And how do we cope with it in a way that we do not fall into xenophobia and that we, in a very real sense, set out some guidelines that are acceptable, I think, to just about everybody. So I think in general, I would like to reassure people that Townshipers have taken a position regarding this important bill, and we feel it's one that is a rational, sensible approach.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's something that I think that there are so many discussions that are occurring now in coffee shops, around the kitchen table, people that are meeting people and talking in terms of how they're reacting in many ways to what is happening in the United States regarding immigration, regarding anyone who seems to be Muslim. And to a great extent, I think there are many, many people who live in rural Quebec that for the most part have probably never met someone who is, to their knowledge, Muslim, or certainly a woman who is wearing a traditional religious garb. So that I think in many ways what we're talking about, and I like the way it has been phrased, is that in many ways we don't have problems. So that what we can do is take some proactive measures at this point and set out some guidelines and work through so that our population in general gets a sense that we are included in this discussion. That's it. Yes.
That's it. Okay. Good to know. Now, what does that mean exactly for the population township's position? What you're willing to go and fight for, to argue for? Or?
Well, what it would come down to is that if we were asked to present a position paper to the National Assembly, then we would present essentially what I've outlined here, which is a very different position from what we presented when we went to the parliamentary hearings of the National Assembly on Bill 60 and the Charter of Values, where we were the first to note that the only way that this bill could have been passed would be to change the Charter of Rights and Freedoms of the Individual. And by changing that, it would in fact allow then for discrimination to take place on the basis of language. So that many laws that can appear to be something that really doesn't imply a great deal for the English community, when you read the fine print of these bills, it becomes obvious that in many instances it is. And one of our preoccupations at the Townshipers is to ensure that there is a mechanism through a Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that people who feel that they have been discriminated against, whether it be because of their language, because of the color of their skin, their religious orientation, or their sexual orientation, have a right to appeal. And I think this is fundamental to democracy, and I think it's one of the principles that the English community has always set itself upon. You know, when we talk about values, the value of individual freedom is way up there in terms of the values held by the English community. And I think in that sense, it's the townshipper's responsibility to speak on behalf of our community whenever we feel that the values that affect individuals can be touched and modified in any significant or even in a minor way. I really feel strongly that one of the responsibilities of the townshipers is to keep a close eye on what is happening at both the federal and provincial level in terms of legislation that's coming out. And we've been very fortunate that even in the brief time that I've been with the townshipers, we have gone several times to present our positions regarding the linguistic duality of Canada and representing in particular the points of view of rural English speakers. And rural English speakers, I think, are in many ways in a position where our institutions have many times disappeared. We no longer in our own area have a Sherbrooke Hospital. We see schools that are growing ever and ever smaller in terms of enrollment. We see a number of employment opportunities that are only available now if you are bilingual. And so we need to really remind, in this instance, the federal government, that they have a responsibility to the linguistic community of Quebec, and that is the English-speaking community. And if you compare ourselves to the English-speaking community on the island of Montreal, where they have institutions, they have schools, they have communities where you can pretty much function in terms of your culture, your livelihood, just being on the street is very much an English environment. But we don't have that here. So we need to remind those people who are in positions to make decisions about what's going to happen with the funding of projects and the continued sponsorship of the rights and the freedoms of the English-speaking community. And this is why the townshipers became so very, very much upset with our prime minister when he came to the townships not too long ago, to Sherbrooke. And I think everybody was so enthusiastic, and there were invites that were placed in both French and English media inviting people to come to that town hall meeting with the prime minister. And when he declared that because we're in Quebec, he was going to answer all questions in English, it was such a shock. And that propelled the townshipers the following day then to engage in the construction of a letter that I signed and sent to the prime minister. And in essence, I asked him for two major points of redress. One is to apologize to all of the English-speaking people who had come for not having addressed them in the official language of English. Mm-hmm. And as the prime minister, he has a responsibility and a duty to uphold. And to uphold means he actually had to ask of us the perhaps permission that, how about, because most of the people here are French-speaking, I'm going to answer questions that are given to me in English and English. Is everyone okay with that? The answer, of course, would have been absolutely.
Exactly.
But he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. He acted with a sort of sense of disrespect that became haunting. And I must give him credit, though, is that he wrote back. And he wrote back with a most sincere apology. And he also, and this is the second really important point, reaffirmed his government's absolute commitment to the legislation that addresses the duality of languages in Canada. And looking at that in a very positive term, then, for those people who are English-speaking minority in Quebec and those people who are French-speaking minority outside of Quebec, we need to have our Prime Minister reaffirm new government, new policies, new minister, that he is absolutely committed to seeing that this government is going to reinforce the whole concept of Canada is really a two-language country.
I think this is really important to remind people that Townshipers Association is working for them. They're making a difference because you did draft the letter and you did get a response. Township Association is probably more political in the last few years, too. It's not just about Townshipers Day.
Well, what it comes down to is something that's very important, is that in order to truly represent the interests mm-hmm. of our community, you have to be able to go and speak to politicians. And this is not a lobbying process. Mm-hmm. It's one of just speaking up and addressing the issues of the community. For example, after Mr. Trudeau spoke, I gave 12 interviews the following day.
Okay.
Radio, mm-hmm. TV, mm-hmm. and in the press. So I ended up being quoted in the National Post. Mm-hmm. I ended up in a national context. Mm-hmm. And what it did also bring out is that we may be a small little group in rural Quebec, but by gosh, you're going to hear what we have to say, because we're not going to sit back and we're not going to look at issues that really are very troubling in terms of our minority status. So I really want to make it clear that, you know, some people may say, well, are you becoming a political organization? The answer to that is we are becoming more politically conscious of the decision-making apparatus that passes laws, that creates policies, and then passes them down to us. So we would much rather say, in a very real sense, our mission is to be at the policy-making table, and we would much rather be there than just reacting to policy after it's made. And that means we have to become more active in certain circles. And I'm delighted that we were able to do it, and we're being quite effective, too.
That's wonderful. Just wanted to remind everybody, we're talking with Cherry Cutting, President of Townshipers Association. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to theCUBE 88.9 FM. So that's great.
Well, thank you. But, you know, we mustn't forget that Townshipers is a tradition, mm-hmm. and it's something that people look forward to. It's something, though, that municipalities are more and more backing out of because, unfortunately, it's right across the board is that more and more what we're seeing is that belt tightening mm-hmm. is universal mm-hmm. at the federal, provincial, and especially at the municipal levels. So we're in hopes that we can certainly continue this tradition, but it might have to be on a scaled down model, or it might be one where we'll have to go more to institutions than municipalities, but mm-hmm. it's something that we need to talk about. We need to make decisions. And if it's a part of what people are looking forward to find ways and means of bringing or creating, I should say, instances where people can get together. And I think that's a lot of what Townshipers is now about. Mm-hmm. It's about people getting together and people looking forward to being able to share some time and look at maybe a different place or a different mm-hmm. environment.
Exactly. You're talking about Townshipers Day right now,
yes.
correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're looking at maybe instead of a Townshipers Day in a certain locality, maybe some other type of event.
Well, it may have to come down to that we'll pick, and not just pick, is that mm-hmm. we'll be able to have a partnership mm-hmm. with certain institutions. For example, we went to the Brome County Fairgrounds 2 years in a row.
Right.
They were willing to invite us back. Mm-hmm. Maybe what we're going to have to look at is having a permanent site that maybe is in the western part of the townships. And then if we could find another site that would be the permanent site in the eastern part, where everybody would know on alternate years, okay, Townshipers, this year, well, we're going up to Brome mm-hmm. or another place, or mm-hmm. and the following year, well, we know we're going over here.
Okay.
Because what is happening, I think, is that Townshipers Day was originally around to get townshipers to go to visit all of the municipalities mm-hmm. that are mm-hmm. in our territory.
Exactly.
And there are some municipalities that have done it 3 times.
Okay.
And their response, we can understand, well, mm-hmm. you know, we've been there, we've done that. Mm-hmm. We don't have the resources anymore mm-hmm. to be able to do it. So that's one example of something we might be able to do. So we're looking carefully at it, and we may have to make some decisions that would be a departure from the past, but I think we can still come up with something that will satisfy most people's desire to get together on an annual basis and to look at things and get around and have conversations mm-hmm. and learn about new mm-hmm. things too.
I think you're right. It's the people look forward to a gathering, meeting new people, meeting friends. A lot of people just meet up at Townshipers Day. So that's people's real interest, getting together.
Yes. But, you know, we do so many things now, and maybe mm-hmm. I could just mention
certainly.
A couple of them that are, I think, are really quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been about 2 years now, there's a program, it's called Food for Thought.
Okay.
And it's every Friday at St. Paul's United Church in Magog. And this really is all about creating a place where there's a nice meal served at mm-hmm. a very reasonable price, mm-hmm. and there are guest speakers that are brought in specifically to talk to seniors and people who are, again, giving care to seniors
okay.
or if anyone who is in a caregiving situation. Mm-hmm. It's a time where you can go, you can listen to people who can bring new ideas, mm-hmm. new support. And it's every Friday, and there's something new every Friday. So it's really addressed, I think, a need in our in community where there are a number of caregivers. And I think we're going to see this as more and more the case with government policy coming out. We're trying to find ways and means where people can stay in their homes mm-hmm. as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But what we are forgetting, I think, in many instances, is that for every care receiver, there's a caregiver or two or three.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And these people need support.
They do.
They need to have good information, solid information, and to meet other people who are talking about and experiencing the same kinds of things in their lives. And it's an outing.
Mm-hmm.
So it has both that social event quality and a learning event quality, too. And anyone who's interested can call the office, Townshipper's office, or go onto their website and get more info.
And could you give us the address?
St. Paul's Church is on 11 Rue des Pins, Pine, in English, in Magog.
Okay, in Magog. Now, if somebody is a caregiver out there, they want some more information, they can give Townshipper's a call or email them?
They certainly can, and maybe I can give you the number.
Okay.
The number is 819-566-5717.
Okay, so that's 819-566-5717. And I know that there's a lot of caregivers out there, and I think it's so important that they do get out. A lot of them are stuck in the house a lot, and it's so important to know that there's others out there too.
It is. And now that we're getting some springtime weather, it might even make it easier to get out too.
Exactly. Good. Now, is there a charge for this? I suppose that they would find out when they call Townshippers.
The lunch is $7.
Okay.
But I can tell you, having had a lunch or two, that for $7, you may not need to eat the rest of the day.
Okay. Well, that's certainly a reasonable price and much lower than they would ever find in a restaurant.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And we've got two clinics that are going now.
Mm-hmm.
One is for free legal advice.
Okay.
Not legal service, but advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's staffed by people who are pursuing a law degree from the University of Sherbrooke, who are perfectly bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
And people can come in if they have concerns. And I'm wondering about, you know, this is happening, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what they can get is some advice that will steer them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a substitute for a lawyer, but it might be the kind of information that before you go in and try and take some action, what you find are, what are your rights? What are some of the laws that might impact on you? What could you do about the situation? And then when it comes time to making a decision about, well, maybe I need to have a lawyer, then you're in a good position to know why, and you have some basis for making that decision. So this is, again, one of the areas where if people want to, and it's by appointment, and they can, again, just phone in and set up an appointment and go and talk to someone.
Okay, I think that's important too, because, you know, perhaps after you speak to one of the legal advisors, you may find out you don't have a case at all, or find some other alternative to handling the situation. And
or that, find out, you ought to be seeing someone about this.
Exactly.
And I think what often happens too is that I know that there has to be a certain perspective. Now, when we're talking about legal issues, most people get pretty tense anyway.
Right.
It's you know, if you have something that really is wearing on you and it's working on you every day, and you think, well, maybe I've got to get some, maybe I have to see a lawyer about this. It's not easy to do that.
No.
The second thing is that there are a number of English-speaking people, when they take a look in the Yellow Pages, where do I find an English lawyer? Who can help me? Because I don't think I can explain myself enough in French.
Okay.
Well, go to the clinic, and then you'll get a perspective and maybe get, you know, steered to a person who can help you. And I think this is so very important, because oftentimes I think people back away from very tough situations because they just don't know who to talk to or how to talk to someone. And this is an opportunity to go in and speak with someone who can be very sympathetic and can discuss the issues with you in a way that may not lead to anything, or it may lead to, well, yes, you know, you really need to address this because.
I think that's a really important service.
And that number is 819-566-2182.
That's 819-566-2182?
2182, okay. That's right.
So that's for the legal advice?
Yes.
Okay.
And right now, as most of us are painfully aware of, we're right smack in the time of the year where Revenue Quebec and Revenue Canada are wanting their share.
Tax time. I think everybody can relate to that. Okay.
Yes. And now for some years now, there has been an income tax clinic that is done in cooperation with some other partners, but is also available at Townshippers. And this is available to people who qualify. And what I mean by qualifying is that one's revenue must be under a certain limit. And often, too, what we see are people that it's hard to believe in this day and age that don't have a permanent address because they just don't.
Okay.
And that's because they are people who live in situations where it's not always possible to be able to even find the money to be able to stay in a place for very long. So there are situations, and people shouldn't feel as if they are, because of their life situations, not able to do what is necessary. And by filing an income tax report, you can often qualify for certain benefits. And I think one of the things that is absolutely important, again, is to make sure that every single person, no matter, you know, what your income is, no matter what your living circumstance might be, that you get the very best possible advice and service. And there are people who help you fill out these forms and help you find ways and means of how you can address some of the issues around what happens if you don't have a permanent address. It can be a very, very difficult situation for many people. And what we're trying to do, again, is to make sure that everybody has a fair shake. So this is another clinic that is available. And more information, it can be found by phoning the general number. That's the 566-5717.
Okay, so again, we'll give that number, 819-566-5717, and that's for the income tax clinic. And that's some very important information you brought up there. People who don't have a permanent address or who make a certain amount of money qualify for this, and definitely a lot of these people will qualify for a lot of different programs they're probably not aware of.
Yes, and I think one of the other factors you have to really put out is that no matter what, when you're doing your income tax, you're tense. And if you don't understand it, you're even tenser. So one of the solutions is just don't do it and back away from it. And what I try and get across is that you may be cheating yourself out of something by doing that. So, you know, come in, have a talk, and then from that you can make decisions. There's no pressure there. And this is not an agency of the government. It's just a service that's provided because In effect, what we've learned over the years is that there are people who walk into the office every single day at Townshippers and ask us questions about such a wide array of different kinds of issues and services. And this is when it emerged over the years as something that people really were quite confused about and didn't know where to turn.
Okay, I think that's really important. I think a lot of people can understand that income tax. It's so overwhelming to people. And if you do put it off, eventually you have to face it.
Sooner or later. Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
But then we've got a couple of other programs, I think, that are quite interesting. Is that one of our big projects is around how do we attract and how do we keep young people in the townships? So there is a program called Make Way for Youth, which is a program that it we receive funding for it. And what we are doing is a series of what are called discovery days, and they are really discovery weekends. And what we do is we make it possible for anyone who is a recently graduated or mm-hmm. soon to graduate, in particularly in the fields of health and social science, or most anything that could be a career okay. track, mm-hmm. to come and spend a weekend. They must be between the ages of 18 and 35 years of age. Mm-hmm. And what essentially happens is that through a series of networking workshops during that time and through visits, they get a chance to see what a great place this township mm-hmm. is like, and also to meet potential employers.
Okay, that's important.
So what we really are looking for here is that how do we attract people who want to be here mm-hmm. and to keep them? So what I think we have, if we put it in sort of marketing context, township is a great place to live. And if you are looking for a place where you can settle down that has virtually everything that you could possibly need in one form or another, we have marvelous educational institutions. We have great ski hills. We have wonderful lakes. We have golf courses. We have hiking trails. We have biking trails. We have walking trails. No matter what you might like to do outside, you're in a great environment. We also have cultural activities. We have, you know, concerts. We have, you know, entertainers that are world class here, and a vibrant artistic and musical community, which I think can make life very interesting. And also, one of the big advantages of being in a smaller town is that everything is handy. You might be able to see your kids walk to school. You might be able to work at a job that you, in many ways, as we know more and more, you might be able to spend a lot of time at home. That's becoming a reality because of the electronic age. Mm-hmm. So we're looking here at how do we strengthen the townships, and one of the ways we can do it is to, first of all, try and make sure that our younger people, as soon as they get a solid education or get some skills, aren't gone, and then the people and have an influx of younger people also. A major problem that we face in the townships is the outward flow of what we call the missing, now it's now a missing middle. Mm-hmm. It's those people between 18 and 35, the people who are just starting careers, people mm-hmm. who are just starting families, who for one reason or another find that employability is just so much better outside the townships. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we are really trying to address, and this is one way in which it can be done. And anyone that might be interested in this can phone the general office or go on to the website, which is townshippers.org, mm-hmm. and information is there and available.
Okay. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE 88.9 FM, and today we're talking with Jerry Cutting, president of Townshippers Association. So to get involved in these destination weekends, did you call them?
Yes.
You have to be between the ages of 18 and 35. Now, do you need to be a college graduate or?
If you are already a graduate or mm-hmm. you're working towards a degree, mm-hmm. that counts also.
Okay. Okay. What if you have gone to a vocational school? Does that count too? Or
the best thing to do is that mm-hmm. if you have a question as to whether or not you would qualify, mm-hmm. is phone in and speak to the appropriate person at Townshippers, and they can fill you in right away.
Okay. That's a good idea. So again, that's 819-566-5717 for the Make Way for Youth project. So that sounds great.
And maybe just one last thing mm-hmm. for all of those people who are inclined to write from time to time. Mm-hmm. From the coordinators of the Canada 150 ebook project, there is an invitation going out to all of those people who do prose, poetry, art, or photography. Mm-hmm. And there's still a couple of days left to submit something, if you have anything that you'd like to have in this book that's being put together. And the launch is planned for mid-June, but those who work will appear in the e-book will be notified by early April. Mm-hmm. And it's something that it's been going on now for a couple of months. And what is also part of that is that there are actually writing workshops that are being, creative writing workshops that are being held throughout the townships. Mm-hmm. And there's still a number that are going to be available in March through April and into May.
Okay.
So that if there's anyone who would like to attend one of these, they're usually about 3 hours or so, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. everyone who's attended finds that they're really a fun time. You can get together with people who are like-minded, mm-hmm. and there are coordinators that have some interesting exercises that help you fine-tune your writing skills. And again, if you're interested at all, then phone the general number, mm-hmm. the 566-5717. Mm-hmm.
So writing workshops in March, April, and May. I know we've been advertising them.
Yes.
Now they're free, I believe? Or?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's good. Again, if you're interested, 819-566-5717. So those go on even after the...
After the limit has come and gone for the submission of material, these workshops continue, and mm-hmm. there are some people that actually show up for one or two of them, mm-hmm. and have a great good time.
Good.
And it's one where you're working with people who themselves are writers. Mm-hmm. And they have helpful hints and they have helpful suggestions, and basically just provide an opportunity for anyone. You mm-hmm. might be someone who writes poetry almost every day, mm-hmm. to someone who, I really would like to write. I've never done it before. I have no idea how I'd start. Well, these workshops are ideal for you.
Okay, sounds definitely inspiring and a great opportunity.
We would hope so.
Yes. How have you gotten much response from them? Or?
Yes, the turnout has been excellent.
Excellent. And what about the ebook?
The ebook, there's a lot of material coming in on that one too. And I think what might be a little offsetting for some people is that ebooks. Mm-hmm. I think so many of us have grown up with the idea a book is something that you grab mm-hmm. in your hand solidly. And an ebook is something that you put in the palm of your hand where mm-hmm. you put, maybe your iPhone or your cell phone, your tablet, and you read from that. But we have to realize that as technology moves along, more and more of what we would consider to be our standard reading material mm-hmm. is probably going to come electronically.
Exactly. So we, need to make a transition.
Yes, we do. It's harder for some of us, depending on, mm-hmm. What year you were born in.
Exactly. Some people are so used to having the, hard copy in front of them.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay, yeah. So those are some great projects. And anything else?
For today, I think pretty much filled up the agenda that I had written out.
Okay.
So but looking forward to come back again, and we have things happening on a fairly regular basis, and I'd be delighted to keep people informed. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, if you really want to get involved, come by the Townshipper's office, buy a membership, think about what you can do in terms of being a volunteer, because mm-hmm. we need volunteers all the time, and that's a great way to get a good introduction to what's happening in the townships.
Okay, volunteers in what aspects?
Well, no matter what you look at, for example, every time we have an event, mm-hmm. we always need people who will come in and be there at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what it also comes down to is that the introduction to the townships, you show up at an event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like what you see and if you like what you hear, then maybe you'd want to come back and take it a step further. We're always looking for people to serve on our board, too.
Okay. So there's a lot of different areas. If somebody wants to volunteer,
Oh, yes. You know, there are people who say, well, you know, I'd gladly help out at Townshipers Day. You know, I could be there at that booth to help out. Mm-hmm. And others will say, well, you know, I would really like to think about how giving back. And if you have a seat on your board, you know, I've got experience in this area, and I think I could make a contribution. Mm-hmm. And so that is always welcomed.
Good. So lots of different areas to get involved with Townshipers Association.
We hope so.
Well, we've been talking with Jerry Cutting today, president of Townshipers Association, and he'll be coming back on a regular basis, maybe every few weeks or once a month, and telling us what's happening at Townshipers and all the different projects. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.